You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Gary Capewell in the studio to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's racing. And it's a pretty good Wednesday, to be honest. We've got action at Sandown, Beverley and Yarmouth in the afternoon, and Kelso in the evening as well to look forward to. There may be racing in the Stole as well, but they've not had much luck, have they, so far this week? So fingers crossed we'll get a card from the Stole on Wednesday. But out of our hands, I think it's fair to say, with the weather over there. Hello, Mr. Capewell. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Alex. Very good indeed. It was very unlucky last week, wasn't it? They were hit with 70 mil of rain in the space of 24 hours. It's an unbelievable amount of rain. Mm. Usually it's always testing at the Stole anyway, but they raced on Sunday, and obviously they've churned a bit of their ground up. They only have this sort of... They have a meeting in April sort of time, or maybe I can't remember exactly when it is, and then they race these 7 days, and that's it for them. Mm. They don't race any other time, but... It's usually quite testing, but it got rained on the ground whilst they were racing on Sunday as well. So,
well, there's meant to be a listed race and the Kerry National on Wednesday. They're inspecting 4 o'clock Tuesday. To be honest, by the time you listen to this, we're recording this at 1 o'clock. It usually goes out about five.
Yeah,
maybe that Listall's already gone, but fingers crossed for them anyway. Because it would be nice if they could get the week up and running, if you like, after the Sunday card that they had.
But would.
Domestically, we've got two listed races to look at: one at Sandown, one at Yarmouth. Some really good quality racing, isn't it? For a Wednesday, if you didn't know it was a Wednesday, you'd look at the cards and go, Friday maybe, or...
Yeah.
You know, it's decent stuff.
It's good to have Sandown on and sort of middle of the week, isn't it? Obviously, they've got that listed race and a good little conditions race as well, and some Class 4 handicaps, better than the usual Class 5 fodder that we're used to seeing. And there's a good sprint handicap at Yarmouth, and a staying handicap, and of course the fillies listed race too, as well as another Class 4 sprint and a mile race. So yeah, this is traditionally sort of their big meeting in terms of class of the year, isn't it? So
and Elm Park back as well at Sandown, we'll get to that shortly, but good to see good quality horses running in midweek, because
it is,
there isn't always space for them at the weekend. We're going to just have a quick look back at the weekend's action. I know we're now Tuesday going into Wednesday, but I spoke to you on Saturday morning, Capers, prior to Saturday's racing. We discussed a few things, but we didn't really know what was in store with regards to stewards' inquiries on Saturday. It turned out to be, I was going to say disappointing day. It still wasn't disappointing, but it left a bit of a bad taste in the mouth, didn't it?
Did indeed. And obviously I was working on Saturday. To be honest, I still actually haven't managed to catch a head on of the incident. We didn't get a chance to see it live. Obviously, we don't have access to it here. DK did watch it live, but I'm not going to take what he says too seriously. So unfortunately, I still haven't seen it, so I can't really pass judgment still yet. I will have to.
I have seen it. It's the Ledger one is harsh.
Yeah,
in my opinion, I didn't have a bet in the race. I didn't have any preference, but I thought it was a little bit harsh on Rafe Beckett's filly. I think that was the generally accepted view at the time as well.
Mm.
They didn't appear to be much amiss, and I think if you're kicking a horse out off the back of that, you'll be kicking one out every couple of days, won't you, for minor issues, you know, minor bumps here and there. The Golden Horn one was a bigger bump, and
unfortunately, we had the issue with the horse that he interfered finishing third, and I think it's always very difficult to sort of place a horse behind a horse in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the best horse won that race. Anyway, I thought he'd got the better of Free Eagle when he went right myself. Because the Irish obviously have slightly different rules to what we do as well. It was a good piece in the Racing Post written by Jonathan Mullen yesterday, detailing the Irish rules, and Lee Modder said gave an interesting view. I thought there was a bit of a, how he wrote that, he gave too much of his opinion rather perhaps the actual rules themselves.
Okay.
But anyway, that's by the by, to be perfectly honest. With the rules as they are in this country, again, I still need to see the head on, but it, from what I've told, the decision is very, very split. The rules that we have in this country means that there's always going to be a degree of interpretation open to what might have happened from the stewards, but I still think that's a lot fairer than what we see in other countries, let's put it that way.
I was going to mention that, because you mentioned opinion there and interpretation. Surely for the stewards, yes, they have a set of rules, but it's the interpretation of those rules and how to apply them to each and every race, because every race is different, and it isn't a sort of, let's say in tennis, the ball is out or it's in.
Yeah.
That's it. It's clear. Racing, there are blurred lines, if you like, or there can be, or you can go, it's a strange sport in a sense, in that you can go, yeah, you've done wrong there, but you still win the race. We'll just give you a bit of a ban or tell you not to do it again. But then other times, you'll do a similar thing, as you can see there with Simple Verse, and on a huge stage and miss out.
Exactly, and the thing that comes through the Racing Post today, quite a few of the trainers are surprised by the decision. Again, I'm going to have to watch a replay. I think I'll make that on my to-do list tonight to get to actually watch ahead on of that. And the thing that perhaps rankles most is perhaps the fact that Colm O'Donoghue broke the whip rules, finishes second, and then gets awarded the race. It was just a bit of a bizarre
because
episode.
It
really
could be argued that had he not gone over the whip rules, the distance might have been a length.
Exactly.
And then that wouldn't be enough to, again, all down to interpretation. I spoke to James Millman about it a couple of days ago, and he
QC Millman,
as a lawyer, actually put a decent case across for why it shouldn't have been overturned. It's one of those things that people aren't always going to agree, but on this, seemingly everyone that is mentioned seems to think that Simple Verse was harshly done to. So we'll move on to Wednesday's racing then. We'll start at Sandown with the 3:20, which is the Fortune Stakes listed contest over a mile. Seven runners down to go to post, but the main one here, and the one that everyone will be talking about, is Elm Park. Very classy last year, had his problems this year, but should be up to winning the listed contest, surely.
You would have thought so. You'd certainly like to hope so. Obviously, he was third in the Dante last year's Racing Post trophy winner, and then he disappointed in the Derby, didn't he? But he was 4-2-3 on that occasion. Obviously, he really shone towards the back end last year in the autumn, and perhaps this might turn out to be the time of year to catch him. I'm sure they've got something eyed up for him, and this is a stepping stone en route. He won't be 100% ready to go, but just looking at the opposition, I don't think he'll need to be honest. Gabriel was obviously third in the Sussex Stakes earlier on in the summer. He won the Lincoln earlier on as well and finished at second on his most recent outing 18 days ago. He's not actually rated that far below Elm Park, but he's giving Elm Park weight. The other one that, so there's two perhaps others to maybe mention, they are Fireship, who nearly won a Group 3 earlier on in the campaign, yet to win. Yard would be a bit of a concern, the form of the yard, but James Doyle, obviously a positive jockey booking. And Decorated Nye, who obviously has to step up on what we've seen thus far, got off the mark at the third attempt when shedding the maiden tag, and then made a fairly impressive handicap debut here. That form obviously needs improving on, but he's an improving horse. So I think he might actually turn out to be the biggest danger, but I would still be very disappointed if Elm Park can't get the job done.
Okay, Elm Park, the pick then, in that listed contest. We'll stay at Sandown for the 3:55, which is a filly's handicap over the same trip, a mile. 11 runners down to go to post for this one. And I'll tell you what, Gary, you wouldn't mind owning any of these. There's some nice fillies in this lineup.
Very much so. Few of them arriving in good form as well. Postbag, another horse that has been in good form, was a winner earlier on in the year and had a bit of a break before finishing second at Windsor when they get the clearest of runs through last time out. Rosalie Bonheur obviously just beat Postbag in that race at Windsor. Slight rise in the weight for that success. Looking further down the list, Zarnia one at all, Weatherby in July, and then one at Wolverhampton on her handicap debut. Ran 43 at Brighton at their festival. You can forgive that run. And obviously still has a bit of more potential. Spirited Acclaim was a winner on her penultimate outing at Newmarket, but she proved to be pretty disappointing after that on her most recent outing. Sahara won over this track over 9 furlongs back in July, finishing third at Newmarket last time out. Dropping back to a mile here probably won't inconvenience her, so she has to have a chance. Saguna won at Kempton on her most recent outing. I don't think the handicapper has cut her much slack with her opening mark, though. La Superba has won her last two, winning at Beverley and at Windsor. Has gone up another £3 for those successes. Has to be respected considering how the form that she's in, with Tom Markham claiming 3 off and David Ellsworth the odd in good form. And then right down at the bottom, the one I'm going to go for, a horse who's been second, albeit she was a beaten favourite on her most recent outing. That was at Musselburgh. Belle Travers only won the once. That came on her racecourse debut at Redcar last year. She hasn't had things just drop right for her, I don't think, this campaign. But that was a much better effort at Musselburgh on her most recent appearance. And I'll take her. I think she's likely to be a bit of value against some of the horses towards the top of the weights, albeit it's a fairly tightly knit handicap. Jack Garrity team is a very handy £3 off her back. So Belle Travers in the 3.55.
OK, Belle Travers at Sandown in the 3.55. We're going to go back in time now and look at two races at Yarmouth. The first at Yarmouth is the 3 o'clock, or the first that we're going to talk about anyway, and it is a listed contest over the extended mile and 2 furlong trip. We've got 12 runners down to go to post, and it's another cracker, this Capers.
Yeah, very good race, isn't it? A race that in the past has thrown up the odd shock, albeit the last winner was 130 Hadath, and actually prior to that they'd all been single figures, but Semial won this race at 125-1 a couple of years ago, and Michu 2 at 20-1 2 years back. Good race. Let's start with Angel Vision, who was a winner at Newmarket back in June, and probably would have gone a lot better than the finishing position suggests at Sandown when most recently seen. Didn't get the clearest of passages through. Has to be very much respected. Talmada for the Roger Varian team goes down in grade. Finished a good second behind Covert Love at Newcastle back in June. Was running group races since and hasn't been seen to a best. The step down in grade will help. Elbreth won at the Epsa, the Derby meeting back in June. But that form, she's probably done better in two subsequent races. It was a very good handicap where she finished second in at Ascot last time out. I think is well worth a go in listed company. Loving Sings, we just don't know where we stand with her. She's only had the one start. She won at Salisbury. She won her maiden back in May. But she's been off since. Where's she been? But she's very well bred and has to be considered with a live chance. And likewise, Suffused, who was another one who won at Salisbury earlier on in the season, was second in a listed contest there subsequently, and then finished fourth at York when maybe not seeing out the trip. Has to be respected. But the one I want to go for is the James Fanshawe trained Speedy Boarding. James Fanshawe's got his form in horses in very good form. This horse won at Goodwood earlier on in the season in a maiden contest before winning it in this grade, this level, if you like, back at Newbury. Hasn't been seen since finishing fifth in the Irish Oaks behind Covert Love, who of course ran in the Yorkshire Oaks last time out. Been off a little, given a little bit of a break. I'm sure James Fancher has probably targeted this race with his horses in fantastic form. I'll just go for her in the John Musker Stakes at 3 o'clock.
The final race we're going to look at is Yarmouth's 4.35, a handicap over 5 furlongs. The turn of the sprinters here, Capers, and it doesn't get much easier. Most of these would have a chance on the pick of their form, but which one's going to win today?
Oh, dear. It's a trappy old contest, isn't it? I mean, Humidor won at Epsom on his most recent outing. He'd had a little bit of a spell in the doldrums. His horse has been running in all the top class races, group enlisted contest back in the day. Obviously isn't completely straightforward, but has major claims. As does Maljar, who won at Doncaster and Haydock on his last two starts. Very much improving and a rapidly improving 3-year-old. Lexington Place, another one who's been in good form. Winner at Musselburgh earlier on in the season. Horse who's really held his form. If you go back further back in the season, obviously he rattled off a hat-trick in the middle of the summer. Finished fourth at Haydock when last seen. The headgear goes back on, or the cheap pieces, rather, I should say, go back on. The other one I think I'm really going to consider is right down at the bottom of the weights, Dr. Sardonicus, who won at Chelmsford on his seasonal reappearance. Had a little bit of a break and then finished third back at Chelmsford last time out. Runs off the same mark here. Very interesting. As is Midlander, who's been, you know, runs every day almost, this horse. But I think I'll stick with the improving 3-year-old Maljar for Roger Varian and Paul Hannigan to land the hat-trick in what is a very open contest.
OK, Maljar the pick then in Yarmouth's 4:35. Great stuff, Mr. Capewell. Some really good racing to look forward to on Wednesday. Good luck with those picks and we'll talk soon.
Cheers, thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.